Heavenly Father, I come into your presence by the blood of Jesus. I do not come presumptuously. Lord, I humble myself and I ask for fresh mercy and grace as we go into your word. This evening, Father, I do not take anything for granted. Neither do I approach you this ministration based on my preparation. Lord God, I ask that we use the preparation. We use everything available to get across to every one of us, including myself. Therefore, I ask, Father, for fresh mercy to be faithful. Sufficient grace, Lord God, to minister and oracle, Lord God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to Father enlightened with revelation knowledge that comes from the word today, and our emotions, Father, controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. As the word goes forth, let it break yokes in our life, let it cause needs to meet, let it bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ and blessings unto us, the sons of men. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. Lord, let this word go forth as a word to encourage, to strengthen, to enable us to lay hold upon the hope you have set before us. We thank you, Father, in faith for all you will do in our midst. Holy Spirit, Lord, I lean on you for you. Come and have your way. I call you my faculties of the entire atmosphere, and I thank you for all you will do today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The title of my message this evening is The Spirit and the Bride Say, Come. The Spirit said, God, the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Before I go any further, like I said, let me give honor to whom honor is due. The Bible says God gave the word, and great is the company of them that preached, that published it. The Bible also says, in your light we see light. That is, that God sheds light to the scriptures, to our fathers. Are you following me? Then as you humble and you listen to what they are in submit to, you see a spin-off from what they say to encourage you. And that's what I want to do. So why I'm saying that is because pastor ministered so powerfully on Sunday. If you are not in church on that day, I'll encourage you to please go and get that message and listen to it over and over again. Some of these things, you will not get them once. You know, this is what happened to me. You know, that day he told us, he said, we should go back and listen to the message. So it was while I was listening to it that God spoke to me, and the few things that God has shared, I would like to share with us, trusting that when you listen to that message, you too, you'll be enlightened, and you can also fulfill your purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. It was such a powerful message in which I stood there. I just sat down rather, and I was awed by the message. It was so powerful, pungent, sharp, made things clear to me. I had hope that, yes, it's possible for me to make it. Praise the Lord. So the title of the message, like I said, is The Spirit and the Bride Say, Come. The message he preached that day was titled The Bride of Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 as we begin. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, I will read. And the Spirit, let's see after I read that to me. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him, let's see together please, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is attached, what? Come. And whosoever we say, and whosoever we, let him take the water of life freely. It was while I was listening that the Holy Spirit quickened the scripture to me, and I saw there were four different people, four categories of people in this same verse. It's not the same set of people. He said, let the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Those are those that are in unity with the Spirit of God, with God's purpose. The next one says, let those that hear say, Come. Why didn't he mention, let the Spirit that those that hear say, Come? That means there are different levels of understanding of hearing of God's word. Are you all with me? You know, there was a time that the Father spoke to the Father on the Mount. And some people, everybody was privileged to hear what he said. Then some people said, he thundered. Then the next set of people said, an angel spoke to him. And then, but the son himself said, I thank you, Father. He said, because he was only the son. So he takes the spirit of his son in this end time, the spirit of his sons of Issachar, to have an understanding of the times and what we are doing. You can have clarity of understanding. That's why I'm encouraging you to go and get that message. It's clear. You know directly what God is doing, and you know how to go about it. I always give this simple example of the difference between a general practitioner and a consultant. What is the difference? A general practitioner can give you things in principle. You know, a doctor, go and see a doctor. You know, okay, this guy, they will check your temperature. They say, okay, maybe it's malaria. But if you go and see, a consultant will now tell you, this is not just malaria. This is because he will now begin to discern with the symptoms. This is not ordinary. You see, that is different between the apostles and the prophets and the other three members of the fivefold ministry. Are you all with me? You can now discern and say, this is what God is saying. And they will not tell you exactly. The consultant will not come and say, okay, take this, so, so and so, in the natural now, use the doctor or a professor. I follow him. This is what you have to do. Why? Because there's a difference in the understanding and how much they've studied. So this is not us a day to listen to general practitioners. We need to stay under apostles and prophets so we can know what to do. And then under them, I have the capacity and ability to do it. So I'll start off. You say, Bible said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. I'll just put some definitions behind it based on what's part of us yet. What do we mean by the Spirit? Of course, we know the Spirit we are talking about is the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He's been sent alongside to help us. He's our helper. So when we're talking about the bride of Christ, it's not something that we can walk in on ourselves. I for the Bible says this, it is not of him that willeth, it's not of him that runneth, but to go that or to whom God showeth mercy. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's why the Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, come. I can see in that simple scripture that the order is very important. It didn't say the bride and the spirit. So this talks about those that submitted to the Spirit of God. The Bible says, don't grieve the Spirit. And you see this type of the Holy Spirit, he has two basic assignments, and which I will show you from the Bible. He's been sent to go and search for a wife for Christ, like the eldest servant of Abraham. And then the second thing, not just to find that bride, like that servant under Abraham, went to go and get Rebecca from among the brethren. Not just anybody. Only one person was supposed to be picked. And then the second assignment is to prepare the bride, which you see as a type of Agar in the book of Esther that gave Esther the truth of her purification. So these are the two basic assignments that the Holy Spirit has. That's why he has been sent alongside to help us. He's our helper. So he understands what we have. He understands our challenges. And always there too. My Bible calls him a comforter. He comes to comfort or to encourage. But a just man falls seven times. Yet, he was one that picks you up when you fall. It's the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, that's very, very important. So what is the bride of Christ? That pastor defined it. The bride of Christ speaks of the perfect church consisting of a perfect leadership with a fully submitted followership. The bride of Christ, I repeat, consists of a perfect leadership, I follow me, with a fully, say fully, submitted followership. It's very important for us to know that and to have that at the back of our mind as we continue. It's not just anybody, but those that are fully submitted. Praise the Lord. Now, what do you mean by being fully submitted? If we are talking about being fully submitted to God, one, and then to this perfect leadership. That is, they are submitted firstly to God Almighty, and then to this perfect leadership, because that is the order. Psalm 133 verses 1 to 3 says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the ointment upon the head that flows down the beard, you know, goes down to the skirts of the garment of Aaron. I said, there the Lord commanded the blessing word, life forever. So very important. You see, this fully submitted leadership, they have open hearts. Why? So that they can partake of the same grace upon this leadership. This is leadership that is operating in cleansing perfection. Are you all following me? I'm trying to do a recap of what Pastor has taught us so we should know all these things by now. So that submission determines what flows to you, whether it can bypass you, or it can get the full measure. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So that is very important. And then the Spirit and the bride. It speaks of unity of purpose and one voice between the Spirit and the bride. That is, it's not just, like I said, the bride and the Spirit say come. It's the Spirit and the bride. Why are they saying come? Why the unity? Why unison? I follow him. Harmony, the same thing they are saying. I follow him. It's because there is one voice. They have one purpose. They understand the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. Praise the Lord. That is different between the first group I've mentioned and all the other people we see in these four categories I mentioned. Praise the Lord. So, and I put in my notes just to recap again, that currently the Spirit and the bride, currently they are walking in the unity of the Spirit. Like we have been taught, there's unity of the faith in the body of Christ, that's when we all get born again. Be that Lord Jesus Christ, we believe as our Lord and Savior. So we already have the unity of the faith. Now, the unity of the spirit, like Pastor has taught us, is when there is no blockage between the parts, the joints, and the bands. So there's a free flow of life among this particular set of people. It's supposed to be throughout the entire body. But, you know, not everybody will do it. And how are they doing it? By using the blood, the word, and spirit to wash feet. We've been taught. That the Bible says, if you see your brother sin a sin unto today, you shall ask life for him. So when you remit his sins, you ask life for him. You've removed the blockage so that life can flow. It is that flow of life amongst the body or this group of people that are practicing or walking the light of unity of the spirit that will now precipitate the glory of God, which now bring about the unity of knowledge. Are you following me? So this is where we are now in the body of Christ, whoever is practicing this. If you are not, I'm encouraging you to begin to do it as you see, as you continue. So it is when we practice this forgiveness of sins, washing of feet, asking life for all that. You see, before you begin to condemn somebody, ask God to remit his sins, forgive him, ask for life for him. You know why? Because you are members of the same body. There's nobody now that will, the left hand will offend him and they cut it off. No. You try and do something to restore it back. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know those things. Hallelujah. So the other thing we need to know also is that these people, that is the spirit and the bride, their destiny, or one of the things they're going to do, is they are going to carry the same glory that Lord Jesus Christ carried. Until we see that, we are not going anywhere. We must see the same glory upon a set of people. That is the perfect leadership and the fully submitted followership. It's not that the followership are perfect. You see, but the same power that is coming from the head flows down. So it covers those infirmities, those mistakes. And the best example is the life of Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, James, and John, after about the second or third year, he was still calling them babes. Because they were babes. And they were raising the dead. They were casting out devils. They were healing the sick. But you know, when they came back, this is how you know. No, they spent only 3 years with Jesus Christ. Three and a half years, right or wrong. I don't, it takes more than 3 years to grow into, maybe to little child, to go. So they were not perfect. So that should be an encouraging news to every one of us. You know what? When they came back and they said, Master, the devils were subject to us in your name. And they said, I thank you, O Father, they have shown this thing to babes. So all of them were not even born again. So that should encourage all of us. They were babes. I follow him. But he told them something, which I'll mention. He said, don't rejoice in the fact that the devils are subject to you. But that your name is written in heaven, what does that mean? He was trying to say, this casting out devils is not your purpose. Your purpose is that your name is written in heaven. That is, you come and you grow into the character that God expects you to grow. That is, yes, that is when they are talking about people in heaven, they will mention your name. Not just because of name as in Pastor Dio. No. The best example is when the demon saw those people. He said, Jesus I know. Paul I know. Who are you? So don't rejoice in that you cast out devils. That's why most of the members of the body of Christ, we've missed it. We've been rejoicing, oh, we cast out devils, we pray for the sick. No. Those things are just things, let me put it the way by Jesus Christ, who said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They should be following you. Are you following me? So it's very important. And they will do, like I mentioned just now, they will do instant, spectacular miracles on a consistent basis. That is what will distinguish them from the rest of the body of Christ. We've seen people do miracles. They know they will come, but they are not consistent. And most of them are not, they are not instant. But in the life of Jesus Christ, the miracles he did were instant, within 24 hours. I follow him. He said, the guy will say, if you will heal me, I will be healed. The guy with leprosy, I said, you know, I will. And the guy is healed. Straight, feeding people, and not just occasion. Because John said, if the things that Lord Jesus did were to bring in a book, say the entire world will not be able to occur. So that is where we are going to. That is our purpose. And God does not want us to settle for little. So it's very important. So I put some scriptures behind this. Psalm 50 verse 2 says that out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has what? Shine. As we all know, Zion is the type of the perfect church. You have Israel, you have Jerusalem, and then you have Zion. Zion is inside Jerusalem. Jerusalem is inside Israel. Are you following me? So it's very important for us. We are not, like Pastor said, we are not trying to divide the body. It's God that put these divisions there himself. Like the tabernacle, we have outer court, holy place, most holy place. And it's a function of the choice you make. It's a function. Everybody, people go to school. Some go to university. Some people determine that as far as I'm concerned, I'm okay with the pass. But see, first class is available to everybody in that faculty. But not everybody will get first class. Why? Because of different reasons. Some people, maybe they will not take their academic serious. Some people, you know, different reasons. But it's available. They won't say, okay, you make first class, you second class. No, it's available. Because you know why? They have the same lecturers. They go for the same lectures, everything. But some people go the extra mile. Syllabus is the same. It doesn't change for anybody. So that's why it's out of Zion, the perfection of which God has shined. Psalm 48, verse 5, quoted it. He said, talking about Zion. He said, beautiful for situation. The joy of the old earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That is the city that God is going to dwell. And David is a type. He built his castle in Zion. Praise the Lord. So that is very important. Now let's go back to the scripture I opened with. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, that says that, and the spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And I said there are four categories of people. So let us start from, I will use the word least, not least in the sense that to despise them, but to understand what we are talking about. So the least from that scripture, well, first of all, let me start from the spirit and the bride. The spirit and the bride are the ones that are saying, come. That speaks about tabernacles. This bride company we're talking about, they are in unity with the spirit. They have what is final purpose, and they are actually fulfilling that. Because the spirit and the bride say, come. But the next category, like I mentioned, it says that those that hear, say those that hear. Those that hear. You see, they too, they said, come. But see, what they are hearing is not accurate. It's not wrong, but not accurate. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. That the example of when the father spoke to the son, and some said he thundered. Some said an angel spoke to him. I find like, let me just a scripture explain this. You see, God speaks to us at different levels. That's where you see that's why you have to honor people, fathers. I don't want to digress a bit. I went somewhere recently and was married something, and they ministered. And I just sat down. I get him. In my mind, I wasn't comparing. But I could see the entire difference in the administration compared to what I've been fed with. I won't say more than that. You know, when somebody comes and tells you the what, the why, and then the how, and then the how of the how. So, you know that's why God was very angry with Miriam and Aaron. He said, when I speak to people, you need to know your fathers. There's a problem with people that don't know their fathers, and then they go out and choose their own personal fathers. The Bible says that the servant is not greater than the master. If you choose the wrong father, you will never go beyond that father. So if you leave where God has planted you, and you go to where God has not planted you, and you are choosing your own father, I find me, you can never go beyond that person. So he told them, he said, come, Miriam and Aaron. So when I speak to prophets, so he didn't deny they were not prophets. He said, I speak to them in widows, in semen, all that. You have a dream. I saw three oranges and all that. Like that kindergarten stuff in the midst of prophets. Yes. Nurseries. You know, when you go to nursery, say, okay, put the round plug in a round hole. And say, what is this? A for apple. Yes. But when you see somebody that's a citizen, it's not going to talk A for apple. That's why you find out you see such people, they rightly divide the word of truth. They may not have visions and dreams. Why do you have visions and dreams? Why do you all pictorial things to teach in the nursery school? Because that's how they understand it. Okay, this is ball, then they will throw the ball up. People can understand. But when you see a father, I follow him. So now I told them, he said, but with my servant Moses, not so. He said, he beholds my similitude, and I speak to him face to face. So God, so you need to understand that. That's why you need to give me respect. Respect, 2,000 cubits. Because it's not everybody that God talks to like that. It's not, you have not many fathers. Praise the Lord. So let's continue. So, those that hear. I said, those that, the spirit and the bride speaks of tabernacles, the hundredfold, purpose and destiny. Those that hear that say come is 60-fold. That speaks of Pentecost. They can hear something, but it's not accurate. Not that they are wrong. Are you following me? And then him that is at us, he told them to come. They didn't say come, if you observe that scripture. Said those that are here, are you following me? They told them to what? Come. The first two, those ones were told to say come. But this one, they are telling them to come. Are you all with me? That is taxiful. That is Passover. That is come up, Peter. Don't just stay where you are. That is born again experience is not just the end. You need to come up. And then the last set of people, whosoever will, say whosoever wills. That speaks of those that are yet to be born again. Say, come and drink of water of life freely. They are not born again. So what we are talking about is this bright company. iPhone is open to everybody. The door is not shut yet. So if you are hearing this message for the first time and you're not born again, give your life to come and drink of water of life freely. The essence of this message is that God is calling us to higher ground. Say higher ground. God does not want us to stay where we are. He wants us to be part of that bridegroom, the spirit and the bride of Christ. So he's calling everybody. So if you're not born again, he's saying, come and drink. Come and start. It's not too late to start. Say it is not too late to start. So wherever you are now, you can always move up higher. Praise the Lord. So let's look at the scripture to begin to explain this. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Acts 17, verse 28. What does it say? Paul was talking to the in Athens. He said that, for in him we live. Say, for in him we live. We move and we have our being. So you have these three sets of feasts hidden there. For in him we live speaks about Passover, when you get born again. In him we move. That speaks about Pentecost. It's not the destination. So you have to keep on moving. And then we have our being, tabernacles. That is the fullness of God's purpose. So based on those scriptures, I begin to explain the things that God has spoken to me. So let's start from the one that those are about, that have not even joined or have not been born again. Whosoever wills. He said, let him take of the water of life freely. So these are those that are yet to be born again. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So he's saying, whosoever will, come, come. The second scripture, John chapter 4, verse 14, when Jesus was talking to a Samaritan woman, she wasn't born again. I know they have got conversation, but now there's a scripture that he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water of life, well, the water that I shall give him shall never be thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to what? Everlasting life. So that is talking about those that are yet to born again. So God is giving a clarion call to everybody. Come and be part of the body of Christ. If you are not born again, come. That's where we all begin. Praise the Lord. So the next set of people are those that are born again. 30-fold. Passover. He said, in him, this one already living. Now I said, in him we live, we move out. So these ones are already living. I follow him. Bible said, the spirit that quicken it. So these are, and that is the one, the set of people that I said, those that task. They don't say, come. But they are given a command to come. They have been, wait, come on, come on. Don't stay there. I follow. That is Passover. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. When the master was talking, he said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, he said, whosoever thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And that was better flow. Rivers of living. That is different from the experience of a Samaritan woman. Are you following me? So it's very important for us to know these things. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, that speaking of the spirit that was yet to be given, because he was not yet glorified. Now, the third set of people are those that here. Say those that here. He said, those that are here, let them say, come. And that's the type of Pentecost where currently the body of Christ is. If this church has fulfilled Passover, that's what happens when you get born again. We have fulfilled Pentecost. But the great feast we are waiting that has never been fulfilled in the body of Christ is what? Tabernacles. You see, one hour of six today, is the fact that it has not been done or experienced does not mean it's not going to come to pass. You know why? Passover was fulfilled exactly during the feast of Passover. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross. But the Bible says Jesus Christ, you know, is a Passover that has been crucified for us. Pentecost was fulfilled exactly 50 days after the resurrection. I found him in the upper room. It was exact. That is why we can be confident without any shadow of doubt that the feast of tabernacles is going to be fulfilled in the season of that feast. It's not going to, you see, if the number one and two were fulfilled, that it's not going to be before or after. That's all you need to have confidence. That's what I'm saying. That is what the pastor has taught us. He said, give us an understanding of the times. And so you understand that this is not the time to play around. Now, we may not be able to say, this is going to be this year's tabernacles or last year's. No. But we know that it's going to be during that feast of tabernacles. Because it must be fulfilled at that particular time. So it's very important. So those, I said, in him we live, in him we move. These are the ones, this is the stage where we keep moving on. We don't stop. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have to keep on moving. You don't stop. We'll see the reason why some people have stopped. Are you following me? And those that stop will mention, you know, what can happen to you if you stop. You see, I discovered, you see, when I have had some experiences, that God would tell me something personally, that maybe that guy's decision is wrong. Initially, you know, when the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought about as a child, I used to think, something bad will happen. No, folks. It does not matter. Ishmael was not the product, was the product of the flesh. Are you following me? Yet God said, don't worry, Abraham, I will bless him. Did he die prematurely? Esau did not despise his birthright. Did he die prematurely? No, they live. It's just that they are no longer in the purpose of God. You don't understand. They have been sidelined. It's living, but it's not living. You don't understand. These are the things. So somebody can do something or make a decision, and you will not. Or you can see a church, or you can see people doing something, and they are still existing. No, as far as God, that's why God is love. You see, when you make mistakes in life, listen, God, when you make some terrible mistakes that you knowingly do, because God is love, he will keep on doing everything to help you make sure or to get the best out of what is left. You have to say, unless you refuse and then, like, there's nothing God can do again. Case in point. But you see, what is, you need to quickly get back. John Mark. The destiny of John Mark in the Bible, part of it was to see, Instead of first Timothy, it would have been first John Mark, second John Mark. If he had not left, there wouldn't have been any reason for bringing Timothy. That, and John Mark would have been with Paul. And then why is the one that Paul would have been sending around? So, okay, would have been his destiny was to be the bishop, the first bishop of Ephesus. But he managed to come back on time. Then he's the one that wrote the book of Mark. Why Peter was dictated. He managed. You see, folks, there's no time to wonder. There's no time to. God said something to me recently. And I said, Lord, have mercy. He told me I was praying. He said, look, there's no. You cannot afford to wait 40 years again, like Moses. God doesn't have that time. He doesn't have that time again. You know, Moses, you know what happened? He killed somebody because he had a revelation that is the one that God will use. Folks, if you have a revelation, stay where you are. Don't jump the gun. It cost him the right partner in marriage. Because if he had stayed in Goshen, he would not have had to go to the backside of the desert. He would have married somebody in Goshen who already knows and obeys God's laws concerning circumcision. From the day he made that mistake, folks, and he went there, God began to do what you call routing. Damage. Thank you very much, sir. Damage control. From that day, it was damage control that God was doing for him. Damage control. How many people are God doing damage control for today? The 40 years was not necessary. If he had kept his flesh on, it was the same flesh that put him into trouble at the end of the day. I'm not criticizing him. But what if he had stayed there and he had just waited? He would have married somebody there. He would not have gone to marry Zipporah, who was fighting him over circumcising the children. And God was going to kill him before that. And then Zipporah now took a flint stone and circumcised those children. At the end of the day, the children didn't hear about them again. Nothing at all. It was so bad that it was Joshua that God had to raise up. What pastor has been sharing about this is a spiritual dynasty. Not a physical monarchy. I'm waiting for when we get to heaven. So they want to be at the Bema seat of Christ. Those children will stand like this. You know why? It was their father that was writing the law. So they didn't have an excuse to say they could not read it in the house. Yes. What were they doing? He dishonored their father. Same thing with David. They're chasing, they will cry. Oh. David, you know, like Pastor said, you know, not everybody could afford the schools. But if you're a king's son, you had access to it. They're going to go to school and bring somebody from outside. The Bible says that Joshua will stay at the mountain when Moses went up. Where was Eleazar and the other boy? Gershom. They had access to it too, but they despised it. Same with Eli in the Bible. The father was the custodian. They can't say they didn't know. Are you following me? So we need to wake up. What am I saying? Some of, we are in this house. We are doing our very best. Are you following me? But don't say in your heart, we have Abraham as a father. I'm under covering. I'm under covering. Pastor, pray for me. It is true, we're under covering. But one day, come and check your wedding garments. After all these years, what have you been doing with it? So let's continue. So I don't take too much time off course. So praise the Lord. So it's very important that we know that. Oh, yes, something I need to say. Lest I forget. So God was talking to me and he said, there's no time to waste. So under 40 years, God began to try and, you know, what do you call this again? I forgot to see my mind. Damage control. So he brought him back. Finally, when it was time to 40, the last 40, no, Moses, when he smote the rock, said, you're not going in again. So this is what I'm getting at. God told me something recently. He said, don't jump the gun. You see, and he spoke to me. In the Olympics in those days, if they fired the shot, before they fired it, if you jump the gun, you have about 3 chances. They will say, okay, come back. Then you all kneel down, you go, and then on your mark, they said, if you jump, no problem. You thought I'm disqualified. Now in the Olympic Games, it is once. Once you jump the gun, you are gone. I'm telling you, spiritually the same thing. God is doing a quick word and it's cutting short in righteousness. So you wake up here and say, God has spoke to me. I'm going to start my ministry. I'm going to start. Brother, you are gone. In terms of ignorance, God winked at it. Why? Because there is no time. There is no 40 years of wilderness experience. We don't have that time. So when you begin to understand purpose, it's not about doing things, even though we do things. It's about becoming like him. So they don't move. You stay where the master tells you to stay. You say, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He doesn't follow the sheep. So always have that at the back of your mind. Praise the Lord. So we are talking about they and these people that, you know, Pentecost, they have the ones that have said, where is the promise of his coming? In that scripture, you don't have to turn there. You know, it says, we'll turn there later. Where is the promise? We have been doing this thing, you know, so. And then since the fathers have fallen asleep, well, nothing has happened. And they've tarried long on that wine. And from Acts chapter 1 verse 10 describes this. We are talking about Pentecost. Those, are you following me? Those that have refused to continue to go. And the Bible says, Acts chapter 1 verse 10, says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as it went up, they behold two men, that's the type of the apostles and prophets, stood by them in white raiment, and which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing where into the heavens? There's a set of Christians today, they are looking into the heavens, waiting for the rapture to occur. And that's not the agenda of God for now. There can be no rapture until it's manifest in this body of Christ. We'll see as we continue. So he said, why look you here? Why are you gazing into heaven, guys? Why are you looking into heaven? That is, after the master arose, instead of them to go back to the upper room and get the job done, they were looking into heaven. Some of you asked, when is this time I go to restore the kingdom back to Israel? And I said, no, don't worry, go and wait in the upper room. Are you following me? That's important. Acts chapter 2, verse 8. The same thing. We're talking about those that hear and say, come. It says that how we hear every man in our own language. So these are those that hear. They can hear, but what they're hearing is not accurate. Not because God does not want them to hear accurately. I follow you. But because they have not chosen to move on. Praise the Lord. So the problem is this. I said this is where the church of God is right now. Pentecost. We have enjoyed it. You know, we've experienced certain miracles, prosperity. But a lot of people are not moving on. They are not going on. So we see some of this why people are not moving on. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 7. Says, now these things happened unto them for examples and are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the first point I have here, the first problem that we may be facing, that one wants to rescue us from, is unbelief. Say unbelief. In chapter 3 verse 19 says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The best example is Zacharias. You see, when you do something and you fail over and over and over, there is a tendency to, I'm too old for this thing. But the Bible says, with God, nothing shall be called impossible. You can say that is God. The same Lord your Christ told that boy, that the father of your boy, that epilepsy, said, all things are possible to him that believeth. So it's not just with God. You too, you have to believe. Age or no age. Bible says that Abraham said he staggered not at the promise of God. He said he was strong. He said he didn't consider his own body. So don't consider when you fall and say, this now. No. Get up. Keep thanking God for the victory. And then you start doing the thing I'm going to do. And you find out gradually you overcome that infirmity or whatever. So that is the first people that will see a problem, brother. People that refuse to say they can be like Jesus Christ. If you say you can't be like him, what you have said is that God is not strong enough to deliver you from that problem. And then what you have said, you are not saying that is that I can't stop sinning. That's what you are saying. That is, you want to continue sinning. That's what you are saying. God is saying that I will make you like my son. You are saying, no, it's not possible. And to do that is called God a liar. You're not saying it directly, but that is what you mean. And it almost cost Zechariah. God has, the angel had to chase him. If it was an angel that could say, he would say, I, Gabriel. And I'm standing. It's not God speaking. He said, Gabriel. So you can imagine. Praise the Lord. The second set of problems that we have in this place we are supposed to keep moving, let people stay back, is willful ignorance through dishonesty of heart. Let's read the scriptures. Luke chapter 12, verse 56. Just as I talk, I'll quote. He said, you hypocrites, you can discern the times. When the cloud is lowering, you say it's going to rain. You know, say, but how is it that you cannot discern the times? That is, there are people, or some people, I don't want to say us, they are willfully ignorant. So God was correcting and said, what do you mean you can know this, you can know this. How come you don't know this one? That means there is a problem. I call them hypocrites. Luke chapter 17, verse 20. Let's read that particular scripture. Luke 17, 20. When he was talking to them, Luke 17, 20. What was it? Say, and when, Luke 17, 20. And when it was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation. Next verse. He told them, he said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there. For behold, the kingdom of God is what? Within. So what we are talking about is the king's dominion. Spirit, soul, and body. He says it's within. It's not here. It's not somebody going to come from his car. You know, first of all, come in you. It is that which comes in you that will attract and pull down that one is there. Praise the Lord. So very important. And like I said, willful ignorance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. They are willfully ignorant. That's what it says. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. And saying, this is Peter talking. These people are saying, where is the promise of his coming? Either because different things have been happening. And for since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Next verse. Next verse, please. For this they willingly say, for this is the problem. They what? Willingly. Say, willingly are ignorant of. That is, as the action of their will, say, it is not possible. You see, when pastor is preaching, and people will keep quiet, will say, only one person said amen. Amen means so be it. That you're not saying so be it because you can do it in your own strength, but say, Lord, I agree. So these people, they willingly are ignorant. As if they don't want to know. See, that the heavens will apply. Let's leave that aside. But see, what I want to say is that willingly, so people can be willingly ignorant. As if deliberately as an act of their will. That, me, I don't know. The conscience is pricking them. But how you going to continue like this? I don't know. And this same person, I get him, he will not get the Bible reading serious. He will not take his prayer life serious. He knows that if he's in the university, if he does those things, he's not going to make a good grade out of university. He knows that. You know, he doesn't. Then now comes to spiritual things, and he begins to pray, and he falls asleep, and he will say it doesn't matter. God understands. No, it's deliberate. When you know that the standards of the things you are doing in the world, I get it, they are higher than the things of the spirit. Because you are deliberately doing, you say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, Jerry. Okay, they read the Bible like newspaper. So they don't have an understanding of the times. Whereas when it comes to their secular work, they are so diligent, they'll be the first person to get to work. They'll be the last person to leave work. I follow them. They'll cross all the I's, whatever. They'll cross all the T's and dot the I's. Everything is correct. No mistakes at all. Why? So that I can get an earthly reward, either promotion at work. But they don't transfer that to their spiritual life. And the Bible says, if in this life only we have hope, we have all men most miserable. Are you following me? These are things that God does not like. Say, these guys, they are dishonest. You look at him. See, you are sleeping now. Why don't you sleep when you are driving? You know you will die. Now, I'm not condemning us. What I'm trying to say is that, wake up. Step up. Say, Lord, help me. I don't want to sleep again. You may still sleep, but don't say it doesn't matter. The same way you know, say it doesn't matter. I follow when you are going to work, I know if you are late, they can punish you or sack you. I follow, they will clock you, yes. And at the end of the doctor's salary or something. I follow the same person who just stroll into church. At least about grace, yeah. These are things that are putting us into trouble. The little foxes that spoiled the van, that grieve the Holy Spirit, that say he's not talking to me. Why will he talk to you? Let's move on. You despise him. So, they are willfully ignorant. John chapter 7, verse 17, the Amplified Bible. I'm talking about the will. You see, your will, once you determine and you set your will to the will of God, you will have light. What does it say? Then, if any man, say if any man, will do his will, put in Amplified Bible, please. It's clearer there. Amplified Bible, Amplified. Now, let's read, guys. If any man desires to do his will, God's pleasure, he will know. Now, read this. Have the needed what? Illumination. That's light. That is for Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. If you desire, just say desire. Ah, God, I want to be like you. You will know. He'll give it to you. But when we say, I don't really care about this thing. How will this one put bread on my table? Then the will shuts. It's like a trap door. It shuts that light from coming. And the Bible says that don't catch your prayers before swine. So he said, he will have what? He will have the needed illumination to recognize and can tell for himself. So God wants everybody to be able to tell for himself. Whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking for myself and of my own accord and of my own authority. Perfection. Cleansing with the blood. Washing of feet. Pray 1 hour every day. You know, if you really want to do it, you will know. God will show you. Folks, to the glory of God, that's how I get to know. I don't always know before, but say, God, I want to do this thing. Why don't I want to become like Jesus Christ? Why? I want to. If it's available, I want it. Then when I begin to pray, God now show me, say, oh God, I can see it now. But we say, what is that I want God to do with this one? Then you can't have the light. But the issue is this. It's a function of our wills. So that's why we set our wills every morning. I set my will to do this. Because your will always move away under pressure, under the storm, to bring it back. Praise the Lord. So the other thing I have here is deceitfulness of riches. Say, deceitfulness of riches. You see, when you begin to do these things, and God begins to bless you, like Solomon, if you don't keep obeying Deuteronomy chapter 17, you know, something that Pastor has been sharing of recently, if you don't prioritize your time with the things of the Spirit, and the simplest way, you know, to I'm trying to also teach, so we don't know exactly what to do, is to tithe your time daily. You see, if you start eating your prayer time in the morning, you are creating a problem for the future. So you make sure the first hours of the day, that's about, let's just say, 2.5 hours. Make sure it is for God. Folks, the tithe is the first fruits. If somebody gives me money now, maybe 1,000 naira. And I'm going to pay the tithe. You know, you can be spending 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. Okay, Sunday is still far off, 100. Then, the last minute, and I'll bring that 100. That's not the first two. That's not the first two. Let me explain in a simple that you understand. Pastor and mommy are sitting down here. Are you following me? Prof, you sit down here. Pastor Jude, you sit down there. Pastor Boyega, sit down here. And I come in from this place. Who is the first person I will greet? So I come into this place, and I go and give Pastor Boyega. Well done, sir. Okay. I got Pastor Tunji. I got Professor Lopadi. And I come and do all the flats, roll on the floor. That's not the first two. You've dishonored them. So if you don't give the first, you collect some money, or God blesses you, and you take that money, you keep on spending it, not that you spend the amount, but you keep on spending. Now, there may be times that you have to break, that's what I'm saying. I'm not putting on to legalism. But see, when you get it, it's the first. When you remove that first, yes, this is, Father, this is your tithe. That's why even if they send money to you, you can send it via ESOM. Not that you spend. It's like that person that comes to church, greets everybody, and kind of gives pastor or mommy, the last people, you have to honor them. Now, the soul also is tightening your time, your prayer life in the morning. There's no point doing your morning prayer in the evening. It's the same thing. You wake up in the morning, you cook. You didn't say there's no time. You wake up, you dress for the children. You do every other thing. You even looked at your mail, replied mails and everything. You go to work. And you now come back. Ah, Lord, have mercy on me. In Jesus' name, I have life. I choose to fear God. No, you have lost the fear of God only for that day. You get the principle. It's a principle. That's why God now says, ah, you wake up in the morning. First. Then you begin to, Father, thank you. I'm okay. Thank you. That is the first one. Thank God you even woke up. Because you know that is the time you are alert. No matter you have run around, you've talked, you've played, you've eaten, and then you now come back, you are doing your morning prayer, you're not trying to do your confession. I'm not saying that at times I can't do everything. What I'm saying is, see, that first 2.5 hours, whatever you can do, you're not able to do 2.5. But start now, just be working towards one. Then you improve. God understands. So I'm not condemning anybody. But see, not as you now leave it and now come back as the last thing you are doing. It's the attitude. Because you will give priority, you will prioritize what is important to you. That old book talk about the rule of Malachi. He said, if I'm a father, where is my honor? He said, some of you, when you want to go and see somebody, you use the word governor. He said, you take a very good gift, well wrapped and everything. He said, when that comes into God, you now bring one eyed goat. The cookery one, the one that is lame, that is going like this, you bring it to the temple. He said, go and give it to your governor, what I will take it from you. That's what many of us do. Some of us do. Say, go and give it to your governor. Say, well, if I'm a father, where's my honor? You see the best thing, you keep it. Even as I'm not scripting about Haggai, I'm just coming to my, just mention it. He said, is it time for us to go and build your own house? Now, then we are building a physical house, but now we are speaking the building a spiritual house. Solomon the Apostle told him. He said, you leave this one, and then you're not going to build your own house. He said, no problem. You're not happy. He said, that's your pocket. I will put a hole here. Look, I'm very funny. And I will puncture it. That's why some people at times they do everything. Till you can't, God can't reboot the river for their sakes. Because they have left this house. Now, the house is not a physical building. It's you and I. How do you leave that house to go and do other things? You let your own physical body deteriorate. You don't pump the life of God into that physical body. You don't build your temple by building up yourself in your most holy faith. You leave it. You pray 5 minutes. Then you go to town. You go and walk for 6 hours. Then he said, is it good for you to leave this house? It's not the physical building. In the New Testament, he's talking about you. But you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't pray enough. Just the thing is running down, you run down, you know, physically and spiritually in the heavenly place they can see. He said, don't worry, that thing you have gone to do, don't worry, I'll put a hole there. So you walk. You don't get the success you expect to get, or even get the success. As you are getting success, something happens and something spoils, then you put the old money inside it. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. God give us understanding. So I say, I'm talking about deceitfulness of riches. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 2, talks about Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh. I've just explained. It's in Deuteronomy, it's in Numbers chapter 32, verses, Numbers 32, verses 1 to 2. Because of time, they were approaching the promised land. The promised land, as we all know, is over across Jordan. How about God told them? That's why he told Moses. That's why when Moses was on this side of Jordan and he was begging God, how about he said, God said, you're not going across. So that means the promised land is across where? Jordan. But these people, they came because they started making some box. In those days, it was cattle. So they had some cattle. They had conquered some land. I said, look, Moses, this Jordan. Why do we have to cross Jordan? Let us not, our father, let us stay here. So Moses was very angry. You are laughing. That is the state of the Pentecostal brethren today. They have moved to go on. Because they had money. They have branches. They have all this. So like, let us just, they are not saying it, but what they say, let us eat and die. Let us eat and die. Or like people say, come out to our blessed. Carry lozon. The promised land is after Jordan. So Moses was very angry. He said, you, these people, you are like your fathers. You know, I always rebellious and this. So he was very angry. Anyway, he considered me. God said, no, we'll follow you. Okay, you're going to follow us. He said, yes, when you overcome there, then we'll come back. You know what that means? As they are praying, are you following me? God is taking from their power for those that are going across. That's what it means. You know, you're not going, it's not a physical crossing over. That those that refuse to stay will follow you and then they will come back. No. Whatever they are doing, if they are praying, God will take out of their prayer. Again, because it's a spiritual battle when you are praying. To help you, that is going over. Are you following me? So, you know why God now said, it's over. Moses now said, okay, God told him, don't worry, leave them. You can stay here. We won't stay on this side of Jordan in Jesus' name. So, the other thing I have again in my notes, you know, as I... the third point I have is unwillingness to die daily. That speaks about a type of that, which is the 50 sons of the prophets.
They knew that Elijah would be caught up. They had revelation. But you see, this good morning Jesus, I can't do it. Are you following me? So they knew, not that they don't know. They knew that, you know, they don't know, and they said, I'm not doing. They were not willing to that. So they would tell Elijah, who is following? I can see the ratio, 50 to 1. He said, will you, that speaks again of Pentecost. He said, you know that your master is going to go to, he said, yes, hold your peace. I shut up. I know the story. They followed from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho. And then when I got to Jordan, they stood afar off. This thing that they are doing, how can you be waking up at 5 a.m., 4 a.m.? You would die. So they are watching what will happen. That is the process of dying to self, crossing over Jordan. Because Jordan is always overflowing its banks during the harvest. So if you get inside Jordan, you can die. Reality is there. I forgot in the natural. So they were watching afar. Let's see from 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 10, I believe it is. I put in my notes, I said, if you stand to view afar off, you can never fulfill the condition of seeing Elijah when he's caught up. Very important. When I say following Elijah now, it's not necessarily carrying the pastor's bag. Just Christ said, if you follow me, and they were following, that's not what I talked about. I'm not saying that is wrong. But to follow is to carry your cross daily. Are you following me? That's how you follow. You practice the things you have been taught with the attitude of reverence to God and to them. What does he say? He says that, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, when I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. So it wasn't something that was easy. But I will explain what I mean. That's a place that I said the sons of the prophet, they stood afar off. So that's why when they was caught up into heaven, they didn't see it. So they said, let us go and search. Why? Because they were too far. They couldn't see when the thing occurred. Are you following me? Because they were not dying to self daily. You see, if you don't die to self, you can't see what I'm sharing. Or what pastor has been sharing. Or what mommy has been sharing. You can't see it. If you don't die to self, that means you are standing afar off. You are not following. Spiritually, that's what it means in its context, its reality. That's how you practice following. You do what I've been told to do. So it's as you are doing it, you begin to see. So when the thing begins to happen, let the Elijah is caught up, you will see it. But if you are not doing it, and you are following afar off, you will not know when the thing occurs. And you begin to say, that thing is heresy, it's not God. That's what happened to John the Baptist. Are you the one to come, or should you expect another? And he knew that these sons of the prophets, he was a prophet. He said, do you know that master will take? You see, Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You can know by revelation. You can quote the scripture. But if you are not doing it, you are not going to see when it actually happens. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So how do you see them? Do you see them in the flesh or by the spirit? Like the five scribes and Pharisees, they saw Jesus Christ as a carpenter. They never saw him as Lord. Are you with me? They didn't see him as Lord. That's why he kept on. It's important to see. Oh, when I say see by revelation, who God has put over you. It's not religion. If you don't see, it's going to determine a lot of things. Are you with me? He called his disciples. He said, look, who do men say that I am? Prophet. He said, okay, you. Who do you say I am? Because it was critical for them to know who he is. Because it would determine what they can get from him. If Pastor Olokwade is a billionaire now, are you following me? And maybe I want to collect some money from him. But I don't know he's a billionaire. And I need, please, can I get 1,000 naira, sir? Please, Ejo. But I don't know that he has more than that. I just have a natural example. I won't beg for 1,000 naira from you, sir. Are you following me? It's important. And then, for example, the other came to me is that, you see, because I work in maintenance, so I have an idea of some of these things. If you see this 33 kVA line, you see these aluminum cables, for high tension cables. Then you have the regular reclaimed wires, you know. You have the 2.5 wires that they used to bring in light, you know. And then you have your phone charger. I follow him. If you, that, the one that is 30 kV line, if it drops on the floor, I follow me. Or you don't know what the current that is passing through, you know, you won't know. You can go and grab it. No, if it drops, If it drops, you know, but you know, in the natural, if they have not yet activated the light, I follow me. You can be playing with it. You can be, you see that they will pull in the same wire. They will be, yeah, pull it, then they will tie it. No, not when they put current there. Because what is passing through it is different from what is passing your phone charger. You need to understand that. What is coming in the 2.5 wire is stronger than what you have on your phone charger or your car charger. So when you see that wire now, let me explain to you another way. My Pastor Lalu's children, if I go and say, Lalu, Lalu, come, come, come. You know, some small children, because they don't know, you say, Lalu, come. You know, it happens. Now, when you're young, you call your father by name, and they will just stop that nonsense. But when you grow old, ignorance is not an excuse, though. The chest thing will be serious. But it's not fine. You should not. Papa says, you know now. You know this 30 kV line. Don't touch my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. So when you say, daddy, 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 we are all praying and we are joking. I follow me. You know this is 30 kV. You know. You don't know when they are going to activate the light. Follow my thinking. You know, because in Nigeria now, the light will come. You can play with it. Then it will go. That's why the church is today. The day the spirit of measure hits, it's going to be continuous. There is no. So when you're calling daddy, you know his father. I'm following me. So you won't go and say, you know, grab it by the hand. Life wire. Yes, that is just life wire. Praise the Lord. So how you see them will determine how much of the spirit of God that you can receive from them. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. Paul said, ye all are partakers of my grace. That's in the Philippian church. Paul was saying it was available to everybody. That apostolic grace on him. See, you're all partakers of it. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we partake of it? We're talking about the spirit that measure. How do we partake of the spirit that measure? The same way. John chapter 1 verse 16 says, and of his fullness have we received grace for grace. And grace comes to the humble. Are you all with me? So the same way that Paul said, you are partakers of my grace. So let us say at that time, God puts the spirit of measure on Paul. It's that same grace you partake of, which is what happened with Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. The fourth point I have here is irreverent behavior. Say irreverent behavior. The best example the Bible that I will give, or one, is Vashti. Say Vashti. You know the story. Back to this issue of how you see them. Vashti saw the king only as the husband. He did see him as his king and lord. You know, husband, honey? Yes, honey, honey. Me, I don't like what he did, though. Can you come? Then they are playing. He never saw that king as his king and lord. So when the guy said, go and bring him, he refused. He said he wasn't coming. Same problem with Micah. How you see them is very important. That demon said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Who are you? Do you know those that God has put over you? Or you just know them as pastor, mommy? It's good though. But you need to know the amount of current that is coming through them. You need to know. And you need to know that, Lord, it's by virtue of that. It says, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Esteem that 30 kV aluminum line for his work's sake. There's, are you following my... So it's not about the person per se, but it's the work that they are doing. So what is coming into them, what is going out to them, are you following me? So you can't compare your phone charger to that line outside there because current goes through them. But what is passing through you and that line is the difference is 2,000 cubits. So that understanding needs to be clear in your mind, in your relationships with them. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Let's continue. So, what happened? We know the story. Vashti refused and then she was rejected. Like I was saying earlier on, they didn't send her out of the palace. She was in the same palace, but she was irrelevant. Nobody, she was just locked up in one house. That's why I was saying that when people miss the call of God or destiny, not that they would die, not necessary. That's what we're saying. They can just be there vegetating. As far as God is concerned, that chapter is closed. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know. So the best example is the example of contrast Sarah. He called Abraham Lord. Are you following me? And it was because he called Abraham Lord that brought about the giving birth to the child of promise. Talking about Isaac now as a type of giving birth to the Christ life in your physical body. Praise the Lord. Now, the last set of people that we're talking about is, in him we live, we have our being, which is the hundredfold, the bride of Christ itself. The spirit of the bride that say, come. One, I want us to put that as a round up. They are God's end time spiritual clock. Just like Israel is God's end time natural clock. When he became a nation, the God's end time spiritual clock is the church of God, the perfect church. Once he emerges, the program of God begins to accelerate to closure. So that they are God's end time spiritual clock. Just like Israel is God's end time natural clock. Are you following me? We say, when you see the fig tree begin to bud, you know that the time has come. They are the ones also that hasten God's coming at the rapture by hastening his coming in them, making themselves ready. What are we saying? You see, people are looking forward to the rapture. The rapture cannot occur until this first one, the coming in them, occurs. So it is by virtue of making themselves ready that they hasten the time, fulfill all that God wants them to do, that the rapture can occur. Praise the Lord. Now, the aspect of where it's coming, firstly in us, for us, and then with us. Are you all with me? So let's look, because some people still think it's going to come from the sky first. No. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 8. Isaiah 52, verse 8. In Amplified Bible. Are we there? Let's read. It says, hark. Let's read. Hark. Your watchmen lift up their voices together. They sing for joy, for they shall see eye to eye the return of the Lord to where? Zion. It's coming to Zion. That is return we are expecting. For 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, says that Lord will vouchsafe worthy of high calling that he has called you to inquire of his perfection of life and fulfill this day in and through all the good pleasure of your goodness and the work of faith. Pursue the name of Jesus Christ glorified in you and you in according to your body, the grace of Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. Please forgive me. Then the other scripture is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, whereunto he has called you by gospel to the what? Obtaining of the glory. The same glory that the master carried. That is our destiny. Praise the Lord. So why is this message very important? It's only the bride that will carry the glory of God. And with that glory, they are going to do three basic things. They are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom to all ethnos. They are going to disciple the nations. Are you all with me? And then deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. And then they are going to give a befitting close to this age. Those are the three basic things they are going to do with the spirit without measure, the glory of God. Are you following me? The second point I have, why this message is very important, is that two thoughts then shall be cut off. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 7 to 9. It said, it will cut off three chapters in 1 month. That's why this message is very, very important for us to take to ourselves. Are you following me? It says, two thoughts are going to cut off. Why is God going to do that? He's going to do it because the things that are going to be coming upon the earth, verses the heart of men of feelings, some people will backslide. So instead of that to happen, God just take them away prematurely. That will not be a portion of GST. We are not saying these things so that we can take key to things I've been told to do and can do them. So the next point I have here is this. It is the spirit and the bride that go first flight too. It's not everybody. You need to understand. Are you following me? It's the spirit and the bride that go first flight. When you say and the bride now, always remember that it consists of the perfect leadership and a fully submitted followership. So don't say I can't make. You can make if you're under those, the perfect leadership, submitted to them with out of reverence, and you are doing what you have been told to do. Praise the Lord. So, how are we going to make ourselves ready as we begin to close? Number one, I've already spoken about it from the examples I gave. Daily choosing the fear of the Lord. That's having an attitude of reverence to God and those in authority. Very important. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 says that Lord Jesus Christ was heard in that he what? Feared. He had reverence for God. Then the same reverent attitude was used in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, where was verse 3, saying that husband, love your wives, subscribe your children, blah, 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 blah. And now goes to say, he said, you wives, see, he said, see. Let's look at it. He says, see. Let's look at it. Nevertheless, you know, he was talking about the body of Christ here, using the husband and wife, you know, relationship to typify, you know, the Christ and his hand. So what is the key thing? This is the last thing he said in that chapter. He said that nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife, which is a type of a church, you and I, and those in submission to authority, are you following me? Say, see that you what she reverence her husband. Oh, you know why? Grace won't flow. We already mentioned 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 to 13, that says that, you know, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. The second point on getting this done, you know, finished to reverence is that we need to also use the things of our purification. Are you getting me? Let's open Esther chapter 2, verse 9. It's very important that we see this. So using the things of our purification diligently and speedily, the blood, which are the blood, the word, and the spirit. Are we there? In Esther chapter 2, verse 9, when Haggai, the one that was supposed to prepare Esther, the Bible says he speedily gave him those things. Are we there? Let's see. And the maiden pleased him. That is, you must be pleasing to the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him. And she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily, says, speedily gave her things for purification for her. For such things are the things that belong to them, seven maidens and all that. That is, it's something we have to do urgently. And we must do it diligently. Praise the Lord. This is what is going to lead to us putting on our royal apparel like Esther did. What does it mean to put on our royal apparel? What it means is that you come into cleansing perfection. Let me make it very simple. It's pumping and having the life of God in your mortal body. That is the end of what we are trying to do by the Spirit of God. However, you see scriptures are very important concerning fulfilling this purpose. You know, the assignment for the third day church is to put on our royal apparel. In the book of Esther, chapter 5, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, in the third day, Esther did what? Put on our royal apparel. It wasn't a physical apparel. The apparel speaks about your physical body, that you are put in the life of God in sufficient measure. And for having oil in your vessels. So it is having oil in your vessels that will now, that's what it means when he says put on your apparel. And you see, you cannot appear before the king if you don't have that royal apparel. If you appear, you cannot get. Esther got half of the kingdom. Are you following me? Going to put on that. And how do we do that? As we close with this last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. Paul was talking. He said that for we that are in this tabernacle, this apparel, we do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be what? Unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be the one what? Swallowed up of life. So that is how we did try the other things we do, you know, confess. But the main, the technology of putting on this, pumping life of God into your mother body is through traveling prayer. Folks, don't play with traveling prayer. If you don't take it serious, you're not going anywhere fast. That flesh keeps on, that's what person said, I keep my body under. So after I preach to others, I'm not a castaway. It's not a physical keeping under. Because the life you pump in that body that will subdue that flesh. So you can now do what God wants you to do. That's how, because if you don't have your apparel, God cannot give that kind of golden scepter that is stretchable and say, ask whatever you want. You can't tell somebody that his flesh is running right out, ask whatever you want. You ask for silly things. So please, it's very important. God wants us, like I said at the beginning of the message, to be part of that bride company. So that we can together say with the Spirit and the bride, say, come. Praise the Lord. Let's talk to God. Let's ask God for mercy. Let's ask God to help us. He has not asked us to do what we cannot do. Most of the time, we just need a little push. I mean, when we start doing it, you find that God now comes and takes control and begins to help you. If Peter can make it, if John can make it, if Peter can cast out devils, heal the sick, just by spending 3 years with Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope for you and I. That's what I want us to see today. The Bible says that God will not tell us to do what we cannot do. His commandments are not grievous. We must first of all set our way to do that thing. It is possible. Let's stand on our feet as we worship the Lord and sing and pray. And we are now
a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb.
Worship and pray,
worship and pray for Jesus' return. Preparing our hearts like a bride getting ready. And we now drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is alive.
You say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
This is the day,
this is the day of His return. drink from the water of life in the city, where the Lord is alive.
I say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
We hear you say,
we hear you say, you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Let's put one out on our hearts and raise the other hand to heaven. As we've been taught, it's an act of surrender and asking for help from God. Let's pray in faith as we pray, saying after me, Lord, please have mercy on us, and so we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word that has come to me this evening, reminding me of your purpose for your church in this end time, and also inviting me to come up to higher ground. I come to receive fresh mercy and grace to enable me to daily exercise my heart in the fear of the Lord by having an attitude of reverence to God and to those in spiritual authority over me, and also to end by your mercy and grace to diligently use the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect your love in my life daily, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, just thank you for sufficient grace. Lord, thank you for love. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power. Into our wills. Into our minds, into our emotions, our body and our circumstances. In Jesus' name.